Here, play the sound and then I'll start the music.
Okay.
Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Awkward.
Hey! Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And as promised last week, we are going to dive in to the second half of our conversation with Andrew over the Enneagram, over personality within
Andrew,
the body
what a guy.
Of Christ.
What a guy.
What a great, great guy.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed having Andrew, and you guys are going to really enjoy listening to some more of his insights. I didn't realize the guy had gotten a master's in counseling.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, I
wild.
Knew that, you know, I taught him voice lessons when he was a kid and guitar lessons. And I knew he went to be a worship leader. I didn't know he did the whole counseling thing, which to me, I see it. His dad has always done counseling, been a great counselor, mentor for people. So anyway, thanks to Andrew. You're going to hear some more from him on the Enneagram. But first,
we've got lots of
normal stuff.
Normal stuff. So, Phil.
Yeah.
What's... okay, let's. Before I say this,
Full transparency. This is the same day.
Yeah,
it's
we're
been
recording.
A few minutes.
Yeah, so last week when you listened, we're recording this all at the same time because I'm going to be moving in and getting all that settled, and actually I won't have like a solid computer until I start at Mission OKC.
Well, and let me for those of you that are now frightened, there is still no such thing as time travel.
Yeah.
We have not time traveled. We just, we are, it's the same day.
Maybe this is 2030 and you're listening back to all these podcasts. It really doesn't make that much of a difference
to you.
No, it
doesn't matter.
So, yeah, if it's Naomi is 10 years old, like listening, hey, babe, how are you doing? Love you.
Yeah. like 10 years from now, people are going to have nothing better to do than to listen to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Hey, we're going to have like 1,000 episodes on the air if you're still alive. So it's going to be good.
Wow. That's a thought. So, what's the best thing you had to eat this week, Lucas? We already asked you the best thing you had to eat, but what's another best thing?
Okay, I'm just going to...
Going to guess what's going to be the best thing you're going to have to eat?
So here's the deal. Tonight, we have friends coming over bringing Lana Thai, so I anticipate that being delicious. And tomorrow, we have friends coming over bringing some empanadas that they said were amazing. So they're supposed to bring
Are these homemade?
Them. They are from somewhere in South Tulsa. I don't even know where, but they said they were like so good, and they're made with corn instead of flour. So,
all right, so you
I can
eat them.
Yeah, so I'm super excited, and I'm sure I'm going to eat a lot of really good stuff. So, tune in next week to find out what I ate really good in the past 2 weeks from then. Anyway, it's going to be weird.
I'm going to double up on this last week. It's been a really good food week. For me, because as you mentioned last week, we had Lone Wolf.
When
did we have that? Thursday?
Yeah.
We had Lone Wolf on Thursday when I was in quarantine and Lucas was bringing me food and throwing it at me from 10 feet away.
He did not catch
what
it
he
in
threw
his mouth
at
well.
Me. What he threw at me was a you know, Lone Wolf says it's banh mi, which B A H N M I, right? So. But I had been to Lone Wolf several times, and I had not ever had a banh mi, which is this Vietnamese sandwich on French bread, which to me, I just thought, what is that? I've always had like a rice bowl.
Right.
But man, oh man, oh man, oh man, I had their signature thing. I had the Kung Pao pork banh mi.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, you know, I shouted out in the last episode, I shouted out upper crust for their pizza and their Italian nachos, and those are great. That banh mi is one of the best things I've had in a long time.
To me, like those fries I had were so good. And one of the reasons they stood out so much more than a lot of other things is because it's so different than anything my palate typically tastes.
Yeah.
Like it's just this like crazy fusion of flavors that shouldn't work and yet it does. Like kimchi is this like vinegary, like sharp flavored thing.
It's fermented actually.
Yeah. And then there's candied bacon and kimchi should not go together. And yet it was this perfect combination.
Yeah. So, I love Lone Wolf. That Lone Wolf wins the award for best thing I've had for a while. That was really good.
I may have to go get lunch there again tomorrow. We'll see.
I'm thinking about it today. I'm like, how could I get down there?
Yeah.
By noon. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's been a very short time since our last podcast. But do we have another Gen Z word of
Gen
the...
Gen Z word of the week.
And this time it's all on me. Andrew is no longer here. He has left the building.
Yeah.
So it's just me. Just I've got to answer you. This by myself.
You ready?
I'm ready.
We may have done this one before, so give me some grace. It was right after. Slay.
I don't think we've done that before.
Yes.
Slay.
Slay.
So spell it.
It is spelled S-L-A-Y.
Slay. Like slay. As in kill.
Right. Not
murder.
Not like Santa slay.
Yeah, not S-L-E-I-G-H. It is slay. So I would say that you did really well at something. Like, man, you slayed. You did a really good job on that, whatever you did. You slayed. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, it's right there. Doing a great job or being really cool. So it can be used
okay,
in general.
Okay, so it could be
like,
and then two different meanings. I got one. I got 50%.
Phil is slaying today. Like you could say that, or like, man, that outfit slays, or like you're slaying life right now is the example they give. So there's just, you know, it's like you're just slaying.
You're killing it.
You're killing
it,
bro. You're killing it, bro. You're killing me.
It's just a little different way to say you're killing it.
Exactly.
Not killing me.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. So yeah.
Or do you know this movie quote? You're killing me, Petey. What's that from?
I've heard it and I can't think.
Think football.
No.
Remember the Titans.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Love that movie.
Denzel, right?
One of my all-time favorite movies.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Denzel
Washington. So slay.
Name this quote. Pick a movie. Any movie. That's a good movie. You know?
It sounds Boston. So I'm going to say, what's my favorite Boston movie with all the cuss words?
Yeah.
the Genius movie. That's what I think it's from.
So here's the deal. It sounded Boston because I'm terrible at that accent. So it's actually The Ringer with Johnny.
The
Cash.
Ringer. Okay. All right. What's my movie that I love so much with Ben Affleck and Robin Williams? And I'm not even naming the main actor.
You're just confusing me. Wait.
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting. That's what I was about to say. Good Will Hunting. Yeah, that's
hey, good. You like apples?
It's good.
How you like them apples?
It's a good movie. Good movie. Yeah,
that's my terrible Boston accent. By the way, I want to issue a public apology to anyone who is from Great Britain, because I discovered like a couple of podcasts ago, we sort of accidentally both flew into British accents.
Yeah.
I discovered mine is terrible.
It is. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to say anything, Phil. But
I always thought my British accent was pretty good, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful. And I have family members who are British. I apologize to all my Kiwi family, extended family. And I just apologize. It was terrible.
It's okay. We love you.
But, you know, the good news is it was kind of funny because it's so bad. So, yeah, and my Boston accent is just as bad.
Boston.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. Yeah. Wicked bad. Anyway.
Wicked awesome.
Are we ready for?
We're ready. What are we ready for?
Dad
coffee?
Stories with Lucas.
Yes, I want to hear a dad
coffee
story.
With some
so,
creamer.
Take your votes. Take your bets. Place
poop
your bets.
Or no poop.
Poop or no poop. So will it be
take your bets? Remember,
stinky story.
Disclaimer:
or not.
Please don't bet money. Bet Starbucks or pancakes or something like that. Cookies, you can bet whatever you want. That's not monetary value. Don't bet your house. Don't bet the house. That's a thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not racing for pinks here. So Phil, as you may know, when you're hearing this, in the past was Naomi's birthday. On the 18th. So we had our party on the 17th and it was a ton of fun. And she was just loving it, smiling, seeing all the people. She loves people. She's her daddy's daughter. And so all the people were there and she's just smiling and waving at everybody.
She is a very pleasant child.
She is.
It's a blessing.
And so we get to the cake smash and
she's turning, it is her
first birthday.
Her inaugural birthday.
That's right. And so we think, like my daughter loves food. Like she has inherited this. And so If there is food out, she wants to be eating it with you. If there's a cup of coffee, she needs a drink. And I don't worry, I don't give her drinks in my coffee. It's too hot. So I'm thinking there's no way that she is going to be bashful with the cake. Like, she is going to like smash right into that sucker. And we see her, like, we put the cake out, we're getting ready. She like kind of puts her hand on it and like pats it a little bit and then like looks at it. And like kind of looks, there's all these people with phones and she looks at them. She doesn't know what to do. So we try to like show her and she like takes her little finger and daintily like scoops a little bit of icing and puts it in her mouth. Like she just, he's so dainty about eating her. I'm like, it's like, think it's spaghetti. Like when you eat spaghetti, it's everywhere. And so, but never, she never just like smashed into the cake.
Oh man. You know, I feel like my kids did the same thing. They were like,
Yeah, it's a cake.
There was at least one of them that we really struggled to get them to smash into that cake.
Yeah.
So. I'm pretty sure that Ben, the oldest, who is, you know, he was always full tilt from the time he came out of the womb, he smashed into that cake. The other two, I don't know. I think they may have been pretty – well, Naomi was messing with you is what she was doing.
Well, but Naomi is super cautious. Like, you wouldn't think, like, with kind of that – but, like, she hasn't walked yet. But purely for the reason of she thinks she'll fall. Like,
right.
She can stand there for quite a while before she realizes she's standing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she can walk with the walker just fine. Like, I think she could walk just fine if she did it. But she's so, like, she's cautious.
She wants to get it right.
Yeah.
She only wants to do it if she's going to do it perfectly.
You see Tori and I's personalities coming out in her already. You know, I'm more of the, like, people, I love them, I want to be there. But I'm definitely not like, I'm going to try it immediately and I'm going to fail miserably and I'm going to try again and again and again. And Tori's like, I want to be perfect the first time I do this. I want to be perfect at it. And so you can just see both of our personalities combined in Naomi and it's really sweet. So
Yeah. And that's kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Which that's just a great bridge to kind of bring us into what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
And so we're going to finish up our conversation with Andrew. So we'll just jump right in.
Yeah. Andrew Layden, we kind of did an intro last week. So he is a good friend of both. Well, I've known him since he was born.
Yeah.
Because his dad was on staff here at Eastwood when I was a member here at Eastwood. And we've known him. I used to teach him voice and guitar lessons. And then he went off and did, you know, his great adventures and came back and has become good friends with Lucas since he came back to Tulsa.
So we were actually out to lunch. I think you, I, and Jeremy.
Yeah, the three of us were at lunch and then, Andrew walks in.
Andrew just walks in and Jeremy like is almost tearing up like, oh, I've missed you.
Oh, yeah. We hadn't seen him in years. Both Andrew and I, both Jeremy and I, he's like a son to us, you know.
Right. He just randomly shows up and then like sits with us at lunch. And I'm like, it's like being at a family reunion with your best friend. Yeah. Or maybe not,
fourth
or,
wheel, although there usually are four wheels. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, it's a fourth wheel on a tricycle.
Right.
It's weird. Anyway, so it was just, but anyway, over the past couple years, become really good friends with Andrew and gotten to know him well. So fellow youth minister. Yeah. And
has gone and, like I said, got himself a master's in counseling and is really just, as he said, he's not an expert on the Enneagram, but in our opinion, he has a lot of insights on it. Great from the standpoint of identity in Christ and talking about the uniqueness of your personality, the uniqueness of God's image in you, reflecting the image of God, and really talking about this as a tool.
Yeah.
You know, if I can emphasize something that Andrew said in the first podcast is that this is a tool to help you understand and to help you be the best version of yourself that you can be in Christ.
Yeah. And I would encourage you, even if you're like, the Enneagram is just dumb, I don't want to hear it, like, just go ahead and listen to him, see what you think. And maybe it changes your mind. Maybe it doesn't. But at the very least, one of the things we really want to highlight is the individuality in the body of Christ, how we're not, even though our identity is found in Christ, we all are made in the image of God and all have different parts of the image of God bestowed upon us.
Yeah, God is infinite.
Exactly. And so it's really good stuff. Give it a listen. You can walk out of here going, I don't care about the Enneagram, and that's fine. But I think it's just a really good way to kind of explore the different parts of the body.
Excellent. So here is Andrew, Phil, and Lucas. Yeah. You can't use it as an excuse to be less than Christ is in you because he's in you. And ultimately, that's the impetus of your life is to allow Christ to live through you.
Right. So, yeah.
Phil, that's the ending. That's where we're going to.
Sorry.
The journey. You found the end already. Yeah. Well, we're done.
All right, great. So here are the nine types. I'll just kind of quickly touch the basics of each one, and basically the two big things, kind of the why behind the what, the basic fear and the basic desire of your personality type. So the let's start with type one. Type one is the reformer. This is definitely like that, like principled, you know, black and white personality typically. I want to be careful to not like talk about behaviors of like stereotypical types. Like while that's funny, it really, you might, cause I act like, you know, I act like plenty of different numbers, but that's not my number. So essentially, and I'll go pretty quick here, but the basic fear of a one is being corrupt or evil or defective. Like that's a big thing for ones. And the basic desire is to be good, to have integrity, to be balanced. In a sentence, they're really ethical with strong senses of right and wrong. They're teachers and crusaders and advocates. And so number one is called the reformer. And that's really the kind of that sharp, kind of, I don't want to say protagonist, like every other character would not be as important, but they sit in that, it's kind of like that Paul, you know, it's like the, here's right, here's wrong, and I have a strong sense. The second Enneagram type, the number two, is the helper.
Wait, hold on, I was going to say, I'll give you just an examples of some celebrities and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like this is good. I was going to say, we'll go down the, I'll tell the little things, and you can say, here are the people.
Yeah, so like a good example in The Office is Angela Martin is a one. I think she's Charles Xavier from X-Men, Amy Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Hardcore.
Mary Poppins is a one. Captain America, which makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah,
he's a
big
one.
Big time.
Wonder Woman.
So a lot of superheroes and judgmental Christian people from The Office.
And The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's sad. Anyway, type two, poor guy. Type two is called the helper. And type two is really an empathic, however you say it, sincere, warm-hearted. They're really friendly, generous, self-sacrificing people. These are servants. The helper, the basic fear is of being unwanted or unworthy of being loved. And the basic desire is to feel loved. And so if you know like a real, like we know some real sweet, like, we know some real sweet people that are just hyper generous. My dad is a great example. My dad's a very stereotypical type too. He's one of the most generous people. I would say he is the most generous person I know and could rival anybody on generosity. And he loves other people and he wants to be loved. And he does that by like, I help and I give and I serve. And that's the way he loves. And so that's what a type two would look like. So maybe some
yeah.
Type
so
two
like
people.
Terry Jeffords from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Great example.
Ooh, I actually disagree.
Really?
I think he's a type six. We'll get into like typecasting.
Yeah, so yeah, type six and type two. I know my wife has trouble figuring out where she is in those. But anyway,
that's funny.
Dr. McCoy from Star Trek, Michael Scott from The Office, they have listed as a two, which the need
that.
To be needed.
I don't need to be needed. I want to be needed. I have to be needed.
Do I have?
I have to be liked, yeah. we could do a whole podcast on just Office quotes if you want to do that before
you
move.
Yeah, that'll be third breakfast. Kenneth Parcell from 30 Rock, Black Widow, if you're, you know, superhero in Marvel, needing to be needed. Mother Gothel from Tangled, if you're into Disney. And that's the only names I recognize.
Interesting. So. Yeah, I was going to say even half of those. So the type three, spoiler alert, I'm a type three. I'm a three wing two. So I empathize a lot with that helper. But the type three is the achiever. And the achiever is really self-assured, attractive, and charming. Let me tell you a little bit more about myself while I'm reading. But they're very ambitious and energetic and very status conscious, highly driven for like advancement, climbing the ladder. That's a very attractive thing. And you know, one thing I did not, and I can speak more on this because I am a three, but one thing I didn't say are some of like the negative behaviors of a one, like, or of a type. Like a one could be, you know, real pessimistic, critical. A two can be really enmeshed and needy. A three can be a workaholic and just like overwhelmingly like need to just do more. So the basic fear of a three is of being worthless, and the basic desire is to feel worthwhile and valuable to people. Like, oh my goodness, this is like, I literally feel this so much. Like, oh, I want to be valuable. I want to be worthwhile. And this is the, you know, my big journey as a three is learning how do I find what I need in Christ to say, I am enough. I'm valuable. I'm worthwhile, regardless of what I do for God. That's the season I'm walking in now is, God, how do I take my worth from what you you did, not what I do. And so that's kind of the type three.
Yeah, very good.
Which I think it's a great example. They have Tony Stark listed as a type three here, which just, he and Captain America both have the same end goal, right? Save the world. Every single movie, save the world, defeat the bad guys. And yet you see the different kind of reasons behind why they're doing that in the personality types.
But, well, you know what? I think I'm going to shift here. Instead of reading the basic fears and the desires, I'm going to read, and I missed this and I don't know why I didn't, but I'm going to read the key motivation. I think this in a sentence kind of really encapsulates exactly what the motivation of a type is. So like going back a little bit, the type one, the motivation of a type one is to want to be right and to strive higher and improve everything to be consistent. That's the big key motivation. A key motivation for the two is wanting to be loved, to express their feelings for others, to be needed and appreciated, and to get other people to respond to their, you know, their moments of serving. A key motivation for a three is they want to be affirmed. They want to distinguish themselves from others and to have attention, to be admired. They want to impress people. And you know, I definitely, I have to watch this because this can be easy for me to slip into, like you were saying, Phil, what's the difference of like the image of God versus, you know, how does our sin nature pollute this and how does it new man versus old man, you know? And I know as a type three, and I can talk more about this later, as a type three, I have to say, God, you've given me an energetic, extroverted personality with a lot of humor, and I want to use that to reflect your heart of joy in the life of people. But I don't want to use that as a tool to get love from people, so I feel like I'm valuable.
Right.
You know.
So quickly before we move on, Andy Bernard from The Office, Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec, Schmidt from New Girl.
These are my people.
Yes. Schmidt. Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development.
Oh no, that's so bad. Oh my goodness.
You're welcome. Tony Stark, Doctor Strange, and my personal favorite, Megamind. So
Megamind. Interesting.
Megamind.
Well, I'll keep going quick since I know we're getting through it fast. So the type four is the moody. I'm just kidding. I definitely have some prejudice against. It's funny how like people are like, oh, are they a this Enneagram type? Yeah, makes sense because they just clash with them.
Yeah.
I have some friends who are fours. Really, four through six are like, these are the people I have to love on purpose. I'm just kidding. I know some very great people who are these numbers. Emphasis on just a few, some. just Andrew, kidding. Just kidding.
Andrew's address. No,
if you want to write him. So the type four is the individualist. This is like the sensitive, introspective type of person. So the key motivation of a four is they want to express themselves. Do you hear the sarcasm in my voice? I'm sorry. If you're a four listening, you are so angry with me right now because I'm squashing your individualism. This is honestly, I have some type four in me a lot though, because like if this is like the classic, like if somebody like, has like, if somebody is like wearing the same shirt as you, I'm like, I'm going home and changing, or you better go home and change. Or like, it's that individualist. It's like, I want it to be unique. Like, so the key motivation, wanting to express themselves and their individuality, to create and surround themselves with beauty, to maintain certain moods and feelings. Phil's laughing. I don't know what's in
this. It's the sarcasm in your voice.
I can't stop hearing it. I'm reading off a paper here. It's all,
wow.
You know, tell them some moody fours. Who's a four?
First, quick disclaimer. I love a lot of different fours.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I do.
Anyway, Edward Scissorhands.
Oh my gosh.
Eeyore.
Eeyore is the worst character. I'm sorry.
Batman is a four.
Interesting.
I don't know. I would maybe make him an eight.
Gina Linetti from Brooklyn Nine.
She is very much a four.
Yes. Which is funny because
the flair of the dramatic. Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely typically the fours that I know are a little more on the darker side than Gina. Yeah. And Gina's more like the sequin jacket.
And let me say too, just the small caveat for the Enneagram as a whole, like the Enneagram is about the motivations. It is wrong to type someone by behavior and call them an Enneagram type.
Yeah.
But the whole purpose of the Enneagram is a tool to help you understand your motivation. And the thing that you can't do is be like, oh man, well, they're just acting like such a four. You know what I mean? And just like personality types, there is, and what I love, if you go on the Enneagram Institute website, There's a ton of information, but it's going to give you an overview and it's going to show you at 10 levels of health. So like top level, number one, at their best, healthy. This is what they look like. De-escalating, you know, slowly into as an unhealthy four, like, and I won't get into this because this is a whole nother podcast, but the Enneagram links to two other, like your number links to two other numbers. And so I'll mention that briefly for my wife and I, because my wife is a nine and I'll get to the nine personality. But like, when I'm unhealthy, I actually behave like an unhealthy version of a nine. And when I'm healthy, I behave like a healthy version of a six. And I'll explain what that means, but, and we won't go into that deep, but all that to say.
Yeah, I was going to say just a couple more. Loki, and then Kylo Ren and Maleficent are the other ones. So, and you can see Kylo Ren.
A lot of bad guys.
Okay. Maleficent. We're talking about the good Maleficent.
The Angelina Jolie, not the cartoon.
Not like, the dragon.
Satan looking. Yeah.
That you meet like twice. Like, yes, kill her.
So type five, this is a very interesting type. This is the investigator. I don't meet a lot of type fives. This is the very intense cerebral type of person. Fives are very alert, insightful, curious. They focus a lot on like information. The key motivations for a five is I want to possess knowledge, to understand the environment, to have everything figured out as a way of defending myself from the threats of the environment. So this is a very cerebral, like I want to know all I can. It's very brainy. I want to know all I can. I'm not saying that fives are socially awkward. I'm just saying it happens sometimes, where it's like, that was a swing and a miss.
One
just a joke.
one of the examples.
Just going to try to undermine all the numbers I dislike.
Is Dwight Schrute.
Dwight Schrute is like, it's honestly, I bet Oscar too, like, cause they joke and they're like, actually is here. Cause he always chimes in.
well, actually,
it's someone like, I have some friends who are fives that are very like humble, fun to be around people. And every personality has a dark side to it. And I think just like as a three, I could become a jerk and a workaholic and, you know, my values be topsy turvy, just like how a five could be like, I'm really brainy and like a little like snarky about it, you know? And
yeah. So like Sherlock Holmes, Dwight Schrute, Ebenezer Scrooge, Ron Swanson is listed from Parks and Rec, Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Shuri from Black Panther, Syndrome from The Incredibles.
I would make Ron Swanson an eight while we're at it.
Personally. I was going to say, I mean, and these are examples, but I was going to say on the fours, just because I feel like you dogged on them a lot, and then the celebrities, a lot of them were, or the fictional characters, but one of the celebrities they listed was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Before, and I think you have a lot of musicians that maybe fall more into that, and that's why they're so successful.
There's
musicians.
A lot. The four type is a very artistic, creative type. And honestly, that's where I think a lot of that comes alive, because it's motivation for, you know, that artistry and creativity. That's really
good. Michael Jackson, Johnny Depp, Kurt Cobain, Alanis Morissette, Bob Dylan, Carrie Fisher. So there's a lot of celebrities, and that's where I just want to make sure we're not beating up any of these.
You're likelier to be famous and an amazing musician or actor or something. Anyway, here's type six. The type six is the loyalist, the committed, security-oriented type. The big key motivation here is they want to have security. They want to feel supported by others. They want to have certitude. That's a great word. And reassurance to test the attitudes of others towards them, really fighting against anxiety and insecurity.
Yeah.
Those are the big key elements for a type six, that are just, you know, it kind of weighs on you. So.
Yeah. So, and reading these, a lot of these, like a type six, I think is just a really good friend, especially at their healthiest, where they just want to be there for you. And so, Frodo Baggins, Spider-Man, George Michael from Parks and, or from Arrested Development.
Not the saxophone player.
yeah. George Michael Blue.
George Michael was the singer and songwriter in that song, not the saxophone player.
He's probably a four.
Chucky from Rugrats, if you are familiar.
He didn't play the sax, did he? No.
Charles.
I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he's a multi-talented guy.
But. Charles Boyle from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which, it completely off subject, but if you have to pick a best friend from a TV show,
Boyle's a two.
Charles Boyle is solid best friend material, though.
Boyle's a two. It's okay. This flawed website doesn't know what they're talking about.
Hey, you don't know the reasoning behind why Charles Boyle acts the way he does.
That's right. You're judging by his behavior.
You just gave the disclaimer.
You can't type him, but he is a two. Listen, people, take it down in your notes.
Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Retro.
And then Tom Hanks is probably the most famous celebrity they have listed. So
now I just, instead of want to go on, I just want to be like, well, I think it would be nice If I could, we're not going to sing that song. Yeah, I got George Michael stuck in my head now. That's honestly, that's a subtle Office reference, though. So everything comes back to The Office.
Can I talk about Seven? Because that's me.
It's the Lucas. Talk about the Seven.
So this is called The Enthusiast or The Entertainer is kind of where we fall.
Should Phil talk about his? Phil, what are you?
I have no idea. I'm a 10.
Okay, if I hear one more person, my dad's like, I'm a 14. I'm like, I swear.
You about to be
boomer.
A dad. Right. Anyway.
Okay, boomer.
Get slapped, son.
Tell them about the Seven.
So the Seven, avoid pain and fear by escaping into pleasure, fun, and imagination. Reframes everything as positive to eliminate negativity and pain, always thinking ahead towards better possibilities and more enjoyment, and future orientation leads to difficulty with commitment and follow through. And so this is like, for me at least, one of the things this comes out is like, I thought I had adult ADHD because I'm going to do this task for like 10 minutes and then I need a new task. I need a switch because I'm starting to get bored with this and I want to enjoy this thing. And so the enthusiast, I have 1,000 different hobbies because I'm enthused about it. And then kind of when it gets really difficult, it's not that I'm like, oh, it's hard, I'm leaving. It's more of this like, I need 1,000 different things to do almost is the deal. And the positivity that comes along with it. That's kind of the
Sevens
trademark.
Are fun to have around. If you if you're throwing a party, make sure you got some sevens because they're the life of the party.
One of my best friends, Ollie Treat, shout out to Ollie. When we get together and have meetings for serious stuff because we do youth ministry stuff together, we'll go through and have a 2-hour meeting in like 3 lines of notes each. Like it's just, that's the way. And then, you know, the conversation goes like in this like really twisted pattern where it's zigzagging around.
And I like how this says this on this one, the key motivations. I like this phrasing. They want to maintain their freedom and happiness.
Yeah.
They want to avoid missing out on the worthwhile experiences. And this isn't here, but I've just heard this a lot before that a key element of like the type seven is like, I really want to just avoid pain. Like pain is a hyper negative. And that's like the basic fear is like, I don't want to feel pain. Like I'm uncomfortable with pain.
Yeah.
So Lucas, we're gonna hurt you.
Thank you.
And we're gonna call it growth.
Yay. So
that's my goal.
Kramer from Seinfeld, Grandmaster from Thor Ragnarok, Dewey Finn from School of Rock. So thank you, Jack Black.
Definitely.
Austin Powers. Phoebe from Friends. Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, he's a hardcore seven.
Yeah, and then
I'm rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so I have a lot of opinion about that, as you can tell.
And then the Joker from Batman. If you're really needing a bad guy, that's also a seven. So Robin Williams, Chevy Chase. Mm. So for your real people,
is it Chevy?
Chevy. Mm-hmm. I drive a Chevy.
Sorry, that was very type it's one of me to correct
Chevy.
You. I'm sorry. That it is.
Yeah. By the way, my daughter says I'm a 9. I have no idea.
Oh, sweetheart, you would be a 9.
Wow. Andrew Layton, everybody.
No, like that's a good sweetheart. The 9, we'll get to it. 9's the peacemaker. They're like the everybody, let's hug and be good.
Andrew,
like, you really are. Like that's a sincere sweetheart. That wasn't a sarcastic one.
We're in
that
the
was
South.
My genuine love for Phil.
We're in the South. There's no such thing as a sincere sweetheart.
That was my, no, for a type 2, that's my 2 wing coming out. Like, oh, sweetheart. Like that's my Southern.
Oh, bless your heart,
now
honey.
Let's talk about the opposite of sweethearts. Let's talk about type 8.
Oh, man.
The type 8 is
Challenger. Is the deal. This is, I think it's 7 and 8 maybe probably is the butthead thing, but it's one of those like, I have to intentionally love these people a lot because it is like, you just ran over that person.
Yeah.
Like you, you challenged.
The type 8 is just a V8 engine at all times, like in your face. So the challenger, the type 8 is the powerful, dominating type. They're self-confident, strong, and assertive. They're protective and resourceful, straight-talking, and decisive. So here are the key motivations. And let me also say the basic fear, the reason why this is, I think this is important. The basic fear and desire of an 8 is of being harmed or controlled. Control is the element. And listen, I'm like a 97% type 3. I'm a 94% type 8. Like I'm pretty up there with 8. But again, it comes down to the core key motivation. For me, it's about value and worth from the people and the social aspect. Because, you know, control isn't a big deal for me. But for an 8, this is really the dividing factor between maybe an 8 and a 3 for a lot of people. Is this idea of like being harmed or controlled by other people. And so to protect myself, I'm going to be forward, straight, and sharp, you know? And so the key motivation is they want to be self-reliant, to prove their strength and resist weakness, to be important in their world, and to dominate the environment and to stay in control of the situation. So yeah, I mean, you really, and I think this one is a great example because some of these, like the way that you describe them, I think we've all had run-ins with people like this where we're like, that doesn't sound like a very good person. personality type, right? Like, that sounds like a jerk. But the reality is, when you look at the levels of health and you see, and I'll briefly read just the, at their best, they are self-mastering people and they use their strength to improve others' lives, becoming heroic and inspiring people. And so there's this health standard of like how we look at certain personality types, and we want to be healthy versions of ourselves. And just kind of the bottom line of the morning, what we'll probably eventually land on is, you know, these are quirks to help understand where you come from, but apart from Christ and apart from a relationship with Jesus, you can't be the best version of yourself. This is a great measuring tape and a ruler to see, you know, if I follow the Lord, like I know people who are, you know, in their 50s and 60s that they definitely have their quirks of that personality type, but like all of the weaknesses that are like standard for their personality, just not present because they've relationally with Christ matured so much that they've put aside some of these weaknesses of their personality because Christ.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're such a nine.
I just think it's, you know, we're dogging on different people, you know, and I think it's really easy to identify people that are like me and struggle like me. And when they're unhealthy, I relate better to that unhealthiness. And so when other different types, their unhealthiness peeves me a lot worse than my own, as is typical.
Yeah. Good point.
And so those unhealthy behaviors they're having, I'm like, that really grinds my gears, you know, but to them, they don't realize that. And for me, I don't realize a lot of my unhealthy behaviors that are going on until I take the time to mature and seek Christ and allow him to say, hey, you little seven, why don't you stop doing this, you turd?
So the final one.
Wait, hold on. We got
The people.
The people. Yeah, so eight, some great people. Tony Soprano from The Sopranos. I don't even know that one. Gamora from Marvel.
Tony Soprano is a mob boss, basically.
Okay. Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. David Hopper from Stranger Things. Or Eleven is also an eight, which is kind of funny in their relationship. You can kind of see it.
Two eights,
T'Challa, so the Black Panther. Valkyrie or Palpatine.
Yeah.
So let's just throw one of the greatest villains of all time there. Palpatine. You've also got like Sean Penn, Denzel Washington, Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, which you can definitely see, like Jimmy Butler, if you're into basketball, like that's kind of the Kobe probably falls more in there, just the way they drive people. And these are the guys that you see on teams that like they bring the team with them. And the best attribute about them is that they make the people around them better.
Right. They require the best of the people around them.
So let's talk about the big on teddy the good bear. Side. Let's talk about the sweethearts. Let's
number
talk about
nine.
The nine. You know, it's so funny. Like I did like a landscape of my life. The people who are the absolute closest to my heart, some of my best and closest friends, they're either threes or they're nines. And it's so funny. I'm married a nine. Three of my best and closest friends are nines. And I think it's because they're just the patient ones who deal with my junk. And they're like, he just needs somebody. Just help this baby boy. Like, and so, you know, it's super funny. The nines are the easygoing, really reassuring, agreeable type. You know, they're accepting and trusting, very stable, supportive, optimistic. But the kryptonite of a nine is the big C word, conflict.
Yeah. So I was going to say
conflict.
Phil as a nine. One of the things that's kind of his nine is showing is whenever we're like in staff meetings and we're disagreeing about stuff, you'll see Phil like, well, Gordon, that is a good, you know, I like that. Oh, yeah, Jeremy, I agree to you too. Yes, Lucas, that's an amazing thing. And like, he can't like stop and say, no, I agree with this. It's like, you know what? You all have good ideas here. And it's
so this is perfect then, because the basic desire is to have inner stability or peace of mind.
Right,
and the key motivation is they want to create harmony in their environment. They want to avoid conflict and tension and to preserve things as they are. Don't disturb it. Don't mess it. Like, just let's all be happy and good. Everybody take a deep breath and let's be okay. Yeah, like, this is the fun game I play with my wife every single day. It's like, hey, what do you want to eat today, babe? And she's like, she literally could, at that question, depending on the day, I love you, Lindsay, she could tear up in that moment. And she would say like, please don't make me make a decision. Like, that is kryptonite to a type nine, is like, please do not force me. Like, if you want to make Lindsay sincerely cry, like, literally be like, we're not eating until you pick. She would literally break down right there on the spot, because that to a nine is like, you're putting me in a position where I have to make a decision, and it's like it's going to affect everyone, because the Nines are diplomats. They're thinking of everybody across all the spectrum, and this is what I love about my wife, is she's so considerate of people when I'm so not, because she's like, but if I say this, it's going to affect them this way, that way, and this way. And of course, you can overthink and go into unhealthy rhythms of that. But the best thing about a nine is these are people who are selfless beings by nature. And it's just impressive to me, because I'm so selfish by nature.
It is crazy thinking about, like, you know, the deciding what to eat. Because my wife's a six, and there's the same issue, but for a different reason, right? And she considers others' feelings all the time, but it's a different way. And not, you know, she's a selfless, wonderful lady, and I love my wife. So, Tori, when you're listening to this, like, I love you, and you're doing amazing. But it is, like, just the same kind of behavior there.
Yeah.
And then a two, I know I have some friends that are twos, that it's the same thing. Like, you need to decide this. And as the helper, they're mm-hmm. like, no, like, you need to decide. You're the boss here. And so it's this, like, I think some of the things, like, different – we talked about, you know, you can't, like, look at someone and go, this is definitely who you are because of this behavior. Because, again, we see there, like, three different types that all do the same thing a lot, but it's from a different place.
Yeah. And it's just super funny how you know, on your own homework for the listeners, go look up, like, the different arrows of different personalities. So I'll just speak from mine. We won't go into anything else besides this, but there's arrows of disintegration and integration, I believe is what it's called, where if you're healthy, you're moving towards one personality type. If you're unhealthy, you're moving towards another. So 3, 6, and 9 are all together. It's the only one that's like a triangle. The other ones are weird. But that helps me because it's easy to remember. So as a 3, if I'm healthy, I will be behaving more like a healthy 6. That's really security oriented, really providing a lot of loyalty and a lot of safety for people. If I'm unhealthy, I am an indecisive, like, apathetic 9.
Yeah.
So all my type 3s that are listening, if you've ever just had a really bad day and you find yourself binging Netflix and food and not wanting to get off the couch, like, hello, welcome to being a type 3, because, like, you're so driven that there are moments when that drive wears off and you get so overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden you're in an unhealthy sphere. And you're like, oh, it's just not worth it. I'm just going to go crawl into my room and just fill in the blank, you know. But, and the 9s, what's funny is my wife she'll be a healthy 3 if she is, a type 9 will be like, if you're healthy, you've got, you know, goal-oriented, you're achieving, you're moving. But if you're unhealthy, it's going to be that, like, anxiety-ridden 6 that's like, I'm panicked, I don't know what to do, I don't feel safe, I don't feel secure, I'm kind of melting right now. And then the 6 to the two directions, healthy would look like a 9, unhealthy would look like a 3, so.
Yeah. And that's, you've got Winnie the Pooh is a 9, Jim Halpert, Jerry Gergich from Parks and Rec, Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, which I can see it. The Chief Elder from The Giver, they list out as a 9. So there's just some different ones. Audrey Hepburn, Ringo Starr, Whoopi Goldberg, they all list as 9s. And I was going to say, interesting thing here, because I think this isn't like, you know, some of the numbers based on their personalities might be more apt to leadership positions, but every single number lists different presidents of the United States as some of the historical figures that were that personality type. Yeah. And so it's not that, like, your number stops you from being this position. Like, it's not like, oh, well, the only people who should be president are 3s because they're goal-oriented and we need them there. No, like, there's these different leadership qualities and things that exist outside of this that aren't there. And you were talking about the different ways they go. And just as, like, a 7, I know when I'm at my healthiest is, like, this, like, organizational pattern of a 2. Mm. And so I can see myself, like, all of a sudden I care about my calendar. I need to have things down. I need to have those. And then in my unhealthiest moments is where I'm just, like, sitting there and, like, I don't care. Yeah, you know, it falls away. And so, anyway.
I think to tie a bow on the whole conversation about the Enneagram, now that we've kind of gone through the types, I think the biggest thing is just you understanding you. I'm reading a book right now called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by a guy named Pete Scazzaro out of New York. An amazing, amazing, amazing book. One of the things he talks about is understanding yourself. And this is a counseling basic thing. You, to understand the people around you, to love the people around you, you have to understand who you are and who you are in Christ. And understanding the way that you operate, the way you tick, is an important part of learning how you have been hardwired to reflect God's image. And the Enneagram, like any other personality or any other tool in this realm, is an invitation for you to come into a better understanding of yourself so that you can relationally be better for the kingdom of God.
Right.
Really, it's a great tool to say, hey, because I know myself, I know it's going to be harder to interact with type blank. And because of that, I'm going to work really hard to love them well. Or I know I have a tendency to be a workaholic and I get all my worth from what I do. And so God, you're going to have to help me work on that.
I would just say that, you know, one of the things that is a general rule for any of these personality things that, you know, over the years I've been through a lot of these different things. And if you're the healthy side, you're always going to be focused more on others than yourself. Mm-hmm. The unhealthy human is focused on himself. The biggest problem in the world today is not politics. It's not race. It's not economics. It's not even war or hatred. The biggest problem in the world today is selfishness. Is people waking up in the morning and thinking that they have to live to feed and nurture and take care of themselves, and they don't feel the freedom that you gain in Christ to give yourself for the good of others and give yourself in love for others and to others.
Yeah, that's
and
so good.
So
I've heard authors say too, and pastors say, you can't give what you don't have. And if you want to give love and you don't understand yourself or love how God created you, how are you going to find the image of God in other people?
Right.
If you've got, if you've got things unresolved in your own life that you don't even know who you are.
Very good.
That is very super good. Interesting in this, the looking at it and each number having this different attribute of God. You know, that's kind of the natural, when they're healthy, when they're following Christ, they're going to find that. And then the opposite, each one has almost this part of the flesh that they naturally flock to when they're unhealthy. But each one, you know, God has created each different type of personality, each different person for a purpose. And so each one with his image bearing. And so looking at the different people, it's easy for me to look down on others and say, well, that's not as valuable as what I have or what they have, or maybe what I have isn't as valuable as what they have. And yet God has said, no, I've created you all for a purpose with a plan. And that's exactly what this is. It's a tool to kind of find where you fit, but also, you know, to see about yourself how you can best follow Christ, you know, to recognize those unhealthy or healthy things that are
happening. I'd encourage people at home, go take a free test. And remember, like, number one, you're taking a free test. Make sure you figure out one that has like the wing, because I think that helps round out the personality, because there's a lot of me that does not feel like a workaholic, but there's a lot of me that is a very, like, I'm like my dad, that I'm very generous and I want to give to people and I want to like feel a lot of love and value. And so that's wow. The two wing really rounds out my personality and helps me understand. So
And so I would recommend,
say, go take it. And
if you are super interested in this, you want to know more, if you're like, oh man, that's a crock of crap, shut up. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about it next week. We're good.
You can click the unsubscribe button right
Andrew,
now.
Andrew,
do not.
Never mind. Andrew's the exception. Not a good, no, I'm just joking. Please stay subscribed.
It was the anomaly.
I recommend the Enneagram app. It's easy. There's a lot of extra stuff that comes with it. There's a more button where you can look at the interactions, all these things as a learning tool, not an excuse. Remember, all these things are to help us follow Christ better, not so you can excuse bad behavior, because that's never allowed within the body of Christ.
And the greatest joy is that you can follow the countless incredible Enneagram meme accounts on Instagram that sincerely make my world spin. So,
yeah. No, but...
thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
It was a joy
to have you today.
I'm glad I could help run Lucas out of town.
Yes, thank you for coming and wishing me, I don't know if well, but wishing me off.
I'm here to escort you off the premises.
Thanks, Andrew.
Lucas is moving this week. We're going to miss Lucas around here.
Yeah, as far as in Tulsa, I will still be doing the podcast.
We'll still be doing the podcast.
We're going to do it remotely now. It's going to be a little bit different as far as how to make all the kinks out. So just be patient these next few weeks as we make sure we've got everything going on. Do we have a minute of culture? Do we have anything to talk about?
I don't have anything to talk about today, Lucas.
Yeah.
I had something and I totally forgot. My brain is so full of Enneagram numbers, and I'm trying to decide if I'm actually a 9. I don't know.
I'm quaking at the thought of being a 3.
My
That's what's culturally happening.
Yeah.
The 3s are quaking.
The threes are quaking. Fours are quaking after Andrew's harsh criticism. No, we love each and every one of you guys. We want to thank you for joining us on Second Breakfast once again. We look forward to seeing, or you actually just hearing us, a week from now. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please drop those in the comments sections or email those over to phil@eastwoodtulsa.com or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
If you have any complaints, please send those to Andrew at whatever email address he has.
Check the show notes. Check the description.
But we love you guys. Phil, any final words?
Love and pancakes!
As always, love and pancakes.
All right.
Two very important things.
You'll hear us next week.
Any slow jam rap out for us today, Lucas?
I was trying to think. I'm gonna think.
Let's
of something.
Go.
Yeah, Andrew over here talking about numbers. Got the Enneagram going, gonna hear it all over. I'm a 7, don't know what I'm talking about, cause I got all these different things flying around. And I don't know what my personality does, cause I get unorganized and I don't know where to go, yo. Huh, all these things are hard for me. Don't wanna sit in pain, cause I like joy, you see. Yeah, easy for me to see all the good, but when it comes to finding bad, I don't know what to do, huh?
All right.
Okay, bye.